Yes, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's radio chat. Can't you see that I'm so excited? You can just feel the energy through the internet. You guys are on your phones or wherever you are listening to. Maybe you're listening through Google Play or maybe you're listening to Alexa, and we'll hear more about that. But you got to make sure that you download the bbsradio.com app, the BBS Radio app. And so then you can listen and take us with you everywhere. But if you want to listen to us on Alexa, all you have to do is say, hey, Alexa, hey, Alexa, Gina R. Prince Radio. And you can tune in and listen that way. Or you can go on Google Play and listen and say, Google Play, play BBS Radio. And then they'll station number one and they'll play it. All right. Listen. So this is so amazing. We're so glad to be with you today, you guys. Today is a wonderful day. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made and we are so glad to be in it. So let's go right to the weather because we have a great show today. We have Bishop Joseph Walker today joining us and he has a brand new book. He is the charisma author, so we are excited about that. Restored at the Root is the name of his new book, and we're going to talk all about it. Then we got, minister and poet Estelle Monroe Brooks-Gant. She's joining us today. And then we have comedian Gina G. She's going to be giving us the Trinity and what she say. You know, we just got a full show, so I'm very excited about that. So let's go right into the weather, you guys. Today, right now in DC, it is 84 degrees and our high is going to be 91. We are expecting some thunderstorms later on this afternoon around 4 or 5 o'clock. So be ready for that. Yesterday was unexpected thunder showers yesterday. And I don't think anybody was ready for that. That just came out of nowhere. But be ready today. Okay. 87 degrees and sunny in Dallas. Your high is going to be 99 degrees. And you got sunshine all this week. Oh, my goodness. Aren't you blessed? London, you are partly cloudy right now, 72 degrees, and you're going to wake up to 57 degrees. Los Angeles, you are 67 degrees, but it's still early over there. Your high is going to be 83 today, 84 today. Wait, 86, I'm sorry. And you're going to be sunny all day long, which is amazing. Let's see, Atlanta, you are 81 degrees right now. Your high is going to be 91. And let's see, Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Augusta, 86 degrees is your high right now. And you're going to go all the way to 93 and you're sunny and got some clouds coming, but not too much. Miami, you are 86 degrees right now, partly cloudy. And your high is going to be 87 degrees. Australia, South Australia, you are 49 degrees and you're going to wake up to 41 degrees. Your high tomorrow is going to be 69 degrees and you're all sunshine all this week. 86 degrees and partly cloudy in Kenya. Kenya, you got thunderstorms coming in about an hour or two, and you're going to have that all, well, some more tomorrow, but you're going to wake up to 71 degrees, and your high tomorrow is going to be 87 with thunderstorms. Hawaii, you are partly cloudy right now, 61. You're waking up to 56 degrees, and your degrees is going to be 73 high tomorrow and all sunny. Puerto Rico, you are 79 degrees right now, partly cloudy. You got sun, thunderstorms coming around 2 p.m. Throughout the afternoon, you're going to lighten up and have nothing but sunshine around 5 or 6 o'clock. You're waking up tomorrow to 71 degrees and showers coming to you all over again tomorrow. So be ready. All right. If I didn't name your continent, your nation, your city, your state, listen, don't worry about it because guess what? God is still in control and has the final say. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on around you, what's going on within you, what's going on, period, God is in control. Just surrender it all to him. And this is the day that the Lord has made. So we should be joyful no matter what. And praise him anyhow. All right, listen, we're going to go right into the show. Yay! Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Tune in. Tell a friend, you guys. Thank you so much for helping make this one of the number one talk internet radio shows throughout the world. I appreciate it so much with over 1 million listeners. And we're over on streaming on over 100 live streaming networks, including iHeartRadio. So we are just... Thank you, my producers, Doug and Don. You guys are amazing. A great partnership. I'm so blessed that we connected. Thank God for them. Okay, so listen, and the whole BBS radio staff. Also, let's see. No, we're going to go into what we're doing, a sponsorship right now. After we listen to our sponsorship, we'll be right back with Ministerial Moment. Have you ever prayed desperate prayers to God but have yet to hear an answer? Maybe you're about ready to give up. Maybe your friends or family are telling you to let it drop. Bestseller author John Eckhart has a different approach. Get more desperate. In his book, Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times, Eckhart invites you to a prayer life that sees results. He uses the story of Hannah as a model and walks you through the five key points of her prayer that resulted in breakthrough. Through biblical teaching and practical application, you can persevere in prayer no matter where you are in life, how bad things may look, or what situation you find yourself in. Check out Desperate Prayers for Desperate Times by John Eckhart, available online and where fine books are sold. So I want to do my ministerial moment about, well, it's not about Paul. Well, it is about Paul. It's the foundation is about Paul when he was knocked down and the Lord sent Ananias to come and deal with him and just minister to him and all of that. I want to pick up from Acts 9, chapter 17. You have to read the whole chapter if you've never read about Paul and Ananias and when the Lord knocked him down and ministered to him and all of that. And then he sent Ananias. You got to read it. It's so good. Okay, so in verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Paul. He said, He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. So I want to really put this in terms for where we can relate to this right now. The Lord had really been ministering to me this morning about what I should say in ministerial moment, and scales over the eyes and them being removed kind of like relates to like filters when we take pictures and we put those filters to make our skin clearer, or, you know, our eyes less red or whatever, have a beautiful like portrait look. And so we're looking at the actual person or thing through a filter. And so God was really, ministering to me about how he's removing the filters, meaning the scales, biblically meaning scales, but he's removing that, meaning that he's removing the hurt that you've experienced, the trauma that you've experienced, the disappointment that you've experienced, the abuse that you've experienced. Maybe it been physically or mentally, or maybe it was neglect or rejection, or maybe it's loneliness or whatever it is. We're looking at life through what we've been through. And so God is healing us from that by removing the scales from our eyes that we can really, really embrace our salvation. A lot of us in the body of Christ are still, even though we pray and we worship and we, you know, we say we trust God and we say all the right scriptures and we affirm and we declare and all of these things, we're still looking through filtered lenses. And so in relationships, we might be looking at people from what we've been through. They might do certain things that might trigger something. So we're looking at them now through what we've been through instead of what God is saying, or instead of what the love that's in our heart, instead of looking through forgiveness and looking through love and looking through, trusting in God, because ultimately we are vessels on this earth and our hearts are to be more like his and our minds to be more Christ. So even Christ, you know, walked the earth and saw people as God saw them. And so a lot of times we ruin relationships or business deals or things like that because we're looking through filtered vision. So I just want to encourage you guys to, you know, read the book of Acts chapter 9, that whole chapter, the whole book really, but that specific, read the whole book, chapter 9 of Acts, and really, really get that in your spirit, how not only did the scales be removed from his eyes, but then he was able to eat. And I think about how now when we read the word of God, we won't be looking even at the word of God through filter, meaning what we desire, what we want, because I'm telling you, the enemy knows the word too. And so whatever we so strongly desire, that's exactly what we'll be led to. So it's not always necessarily God's truth, depending on how we're looking at the word, or if we're desperately looking for something, or we want a husband or a mate. You guys know what I'm talking about. Or we want children or whatever. Instead of just really, really having our eyes, the scales and the filters being removed from our vision, then we can really eat from the master's table. We can really indulge in his truth and indulge in his faithfulness and in his love and his direction, you know, and what he desires for us, because he said that he would do exceedingly. And I know I say the scripture all the time because it's one of my favorites. He would do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. So I have to sometimes remind myself, like, if I'm seeing it or thinking it or fantasizing about it, God has something even better than that. So whenever I read the word, because I used to be immature in this way, and I'm telling you, I would look for stuff, for something that I really, really wanted in my heart. And I would just, this is God. It's in his word. Woo! He gave me a scripture, and it was nowhere near what he was saying. That Buster wasn't my husband, or that, you know, situation wasn't my business partner, but just because it just made sense, and whatever my filters were over my eyes, I saw the word the way I wanted to see it. Come on, somebody. So I just want to encourage you that as soon as you allow God, you know, just tell him, you know, I know nothing. Okay. Even what I think I know, I really don't know. So I need you. I need you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help me be delivered from the filters and the scales in front of my vision, in front of my view, so I can see things the way you see them. So I can receive in me your truth, so I will not walk around broken anymore or disappointed anymore, or, you know, mad at you, because some people are angry with God because he didn't do what they thought he was going to do. And this could be the reason why. It may be because it was you and not him, or your flesh and not him, or the adversary and not him. So I just want you to just pray that. That God will remove those filters and scales from your eye so you can see him clearly, so you can hear him clearly, so you can receive the abundance that he promised that he would do that you haven't even seen or even thought of. Come on. Anyway, I just want you to be blessed today, and just may God enrich you with his word and enrich you with revelation and strengthen you. Because again, after he got that truth and he ate, and I say that, eat the word of God, after he got that, he was strengthened. So just imagine how much power is waiting for you, much more power, because God will give you supernatural strength just to surrender it all to him. And then you will rise up with resurrection power like Jesus. So I just want you to be encouraged with that today. I love you so much. This has been Ministerial Moment. And we'll be right back after these messages with Bishop Joseph Walker. He'll be talking about his brand new book, Restored at the Root. We'll be right back.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born into Sin, Transformed into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince. One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born into Sin, Transformed into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I'm super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord, and he ministered to me, he put that in my spirit, health and soul. And he said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy, and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what he wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
How well? get in my favor. Gonna happen sooner or later. I'm walking. Listen, y'all, this is Lucinda Moore, and you are listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I am walking in my favor.
Woo-wee! Well, welcome, 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 Bishop Joseph W. Walker III. How are you?
Well, it's a delight to be with you today, Gina.
It is such a pleasure to have you. Such a pleasure. So listen, tell us about this book, Restored at the Root. It says, get in the source of social, emotional, and spiritual struggle. Oh my gosh. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you again. You know, the Lord just spoke to me, and, you know, really, you know, over the years of pastoring, I began to realize that often people are diagnosed or perceptions are made about them based on their behavior without any further analysis relative to what may be going on at the root of their lives. So there's a lot of unreconciled issues that lie deep within all of us. Jesus asked the man in Mark 5 who was possessed with the demon, what is your name? And the demon said, we are legion, we are many. And oftentimes we think it's one spirit or one thing that we're dealing with, but when we unpack and unravel what may be going on, it could be a series of things that people have not yet dealt with in their life that have given rise to the behavior that we see. And so God spoke to me about, listen, you can have a great tree, you can do all of that, but it's never going to produce fruit, the proper fruit, until you actually deal with the issues at the root. And so That's what the book is really about, really going at the what we call root work and unraveling and dealing with those longstanding issues of spiritual warfare, demonic suppression, and in some cases even possession, where people have really not dealt with some things and really come into a place of wholeness where they can really produce the fruit that God wants.
I love it. Love it. Well, you know what? What is the thing that you're finding in your findings that people, are they in denial about some of this stuff a little bit? Is it a struggle to admit or see it?
It is. I think it's a struggle. I think people, you know, are really in a place now where, you know, we live in a culture, I've said this, but we live in a culture, and I talk about this in the book, right? You think about concentric circles, and you think about the outer rim of that circle, right, is, you know, perception. And then as you move in, there's image, and you go further in, there's integrity, and then further into the core, there's truth. So what happens often, people live so much in the image realm, which is the outer sphere. We're so concerned about our image, and that's why social media is so popular, because everybody creates these images that may not necessarily be their reality. So it constantly fuels this idea that I cannot be my authentic self and yet be successful, right, because I can hide my truth way down in the core. So I believe what Jesus wants to do, you shall know the truth and he shall set you free, is get us beyond the image, right, and get us to a place where we really start asking integrity questions, right, about why am I this way? What is this generational curse I'm dealing with? And then finding safe spaces to work that out so that we can actually come and live in a place of truth. I believe that everybody who has these struggles has private tension and they have private, you know, challenges in terms of the duality they live in terms of just going out and pretending that things are well and then privately struggling. So I believe that this is an opportunity for people to really have a safe place to work it out. And that's what the book is designed to do, give you a safe place to really know that you're not by yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I love it because a lot of times, a lot of people feel condemned, though, once they do find it, realize that something's just not right or this is repetitive, and they feel condemned. And a lot of times they feel like it's them, but it could be generational, and that they don't really, because a lot of times, I mean, there are people that know exactly what they're doing and what they're dealing with, but then there's people that just don't understand it. And I believe that those are the people that are affected by generational habits and tendencies, and they really don't realize that. How do you minister to those that to understand? Because I whenever I've ministered to someone that is in that bracket, they literally feel a sense of relief. because I think the condemnation is that the guilt, like, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean? What's wrong with me that I keep, why can't I get rid of this? Why do I keep doing this? And I found that once they find out that, you know, well, let me find out more about your parents or your, you know, your grandparents. Yeah. And then they start to see, oh my gosh, that's where it comes from. And then they find absolutely. A sense of relief then to get the deliverance and the freedom from God. Tell us a little bit about that. Elaborate on that for me.
Yeah, you know, when a person goes to the doctor for a checkup and they fill out that form, they're not just asking about your medical history, they're asking about your parents' history as well, because they know that if your parents have high blood pressure or diabetes, that you have a propensity toward that as well. So therefore, they start treating you, say, hey, you have to watch this because this runs in your bloodline. Well, consequently, the same thing happens in the spirit, right? When you start peeling back and you start realizing that there's a variety of different demons we're fighting that have nothing to do with us. Many of us are fighting our parents' and grandparents' demons that they didn't deal with in their generation. And so what this book is about is helping you deal with the demon in your generation so you don't pass down this dysfunction to the next generation or thereafter. And so it really creates an opportunity, one, for you to have courage to confront it, but also I think, you know, the compassion to walk through it with others, to know that just because you walk through it, other folks are walking through it every single day. And you would be amazed how many people, you know, who are doing things, extraordinary things in the world, who yet have suppressed those issues because they think about what is the collateral damage if I were to actually open myself up and deal with this stuff that's eroding me at the core. And I believe this is why Jesus sits with the man, and he says, the Bible says he is sitting and clothed in his right mind with Jesus, right? Because this is what it's about. Deliverance costs something, and it does, and you got to want it. If you want it bad enough, then Restored at the Root is that book to help guide you through each step on how to get it.
I love this. I really do. I love it so much. It is very instrumental and a handy book for you and a guide, actually. And it's really, 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 really great. I love this. And I love you said, don't treat the consequence, treat the cause. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to say something else. I wanted to say how a lot of times, you know, people also wonder, well, I'm ministering and I'm worshiping, and how could this, because, you know, the devil does a lot of, people think a lot. And so, you know, without knowing, then, you know, the adversary can come in and try to manipulate those thoughts. So one of the thoughts is, well, I'm ministering, I'm preaching, and a lot of leaders, you know, are struggling with this. This is not just a layman's situation. This is you know, this is leadership as well, in all forms and shapes and sizes and levels that are struggling with this as well. And I love the key element that you said was humility. I love that, because it is a humbling walk and a humbling journey. And it's a lot of facing reality and admittance and surrendering and being fearless, because, you know, facing truth can be, you know, frightening to some people. But I love it because, you know, I love it, like the symbolic symbolism of the Bible, where it says that the wheat and the tare grows together. And so, well, even though you've been praying and all of that, you are taking root in the kingdom of God. There is roots there. You have a foundation. There is roots there. But then it's those, and this is how so awesome God is, that he can, you know, even, you know, water and your roots can get strong in him, but yet there were already still some rooted issues. You see what I'm saying? Still there too. So, and what's so great about him is that he protects us by not allowing those generational roots or those generational curses to choke what he's doing and what he's done in our lives. So we can have something from him to strengthen us to want to fight and uproot those other things. Can you elaborate on that? I know I gave a visual, but what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, you have to know that, you know, whenever you are operating at a level of anointing and exposure, that you become kind of the chief target of the enemy, right? Because, you know, obviously, you know, I believe that, you know, the anointing flows down. And I think that when leaders oftentimes find themselves in those spaces, we are disillusioned by it. You know, I'm working for God. I'm out here anointed. Why can't I get through these personal issues? And I think one of the things I try to do in the book is really have a candid conversation about my life. You know, I pastor, you know, a large church here in Tennessee and presiding bishop over a whole reformation. And I learned, even writing the book, that this was an opportunity for me to work through my own, you know, issues that I had to work through privately, and everyone deals with them. And I think we end up in this illusion. I think the church feeds this monster, right? Because the church makes us feel like, oh, you're the greatest, and oh my God, I look up to you, whatever. And so, you know, you just don't want to, you know, come off of that sometimes. But it does take a sense of humility to come off of that and realize, you know, I'm ministering to you because, you know, I'm in this with you together. You know, we have this ministry, you know, meaning we have these similar struggles. And I think when leaders are able to really be transparent about their journey, I think that it really helps us, you know, really help other folks come alongside us and really see the love and compassion of Jesus Christ and what the church was meant to be. Listen, this is really about a process. This is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It's a folk who really want to do the tough work. Root work is dirty work. It's going down in the soil. You know, it ain't the cute work of saying, look at my fruit, look at that. No. It's about, hey, look, I got some stuff I know I could be doing more of. And if God is blessing you in your dysfunction, imagine how much more he will bless you if you got restored.
Come on, because I know. Let me tell you. Bishop, I have been ordained as an apostle. I have my doctorate in theology, and a lot like you, because you have a big church and a historical church in Nashville, and I think God is just doing amazing things with you and your ministry. I had a ministry, and God ended up having me close the church down and go on the road, which would kind of expanded my territory quite a bit, and doing the radio show and how all of that stuff has just blossomed. But I tell everyone, and I want us to have this candid conversation just for a second. I tell everyone that I'm very transparent, and I always know exactly what God wants me to share as I'm led, and what I'm led to share is always for whatever audience a person or whatever that at that moment that needs to hear that. Like, I'm just not out there just blazing out all of my stuff, you know what I mean? But as I'm led to do it. And so what I want to ask you is, right now in today, do you think that with people in leadership, because I know you said that you were very candid in your book, do you find that it's that the setup is that people look up to the leadership and put the pressure on them to feel perfect, and then when they fall short, they walk in condemnation or, you know, in that bondage? And vice versa, do you feel like the leader that is walking transparent, like you said, this is our church, look, I'm not perfect, and, you know, and share maybe some of their struggles while they're in leadership, which one do you think is more?
Well, see, that's the whole, you know, six in one hand and half dozen in the other question, you know, because if a leader walks, you know, in transparency, you know, and walks in, you know, in this truth, and, you know, hey, I've got these struggles, I'm working through them, you know, I'm in process, then there's this idea of, oh my God, you know, how do you follow a leader like that? You know, he should be held to a higher standard, you know. And then if a person, you know, walks, you know, in this image that they have it together, and then they do fall, then it's like this aha moment of, oh my God, I can't believe it, you know. So it's like, that's what makes it difficult. We put these leaders in these places, and what I've tried to do, and I've written the book, and I'm very clear about it, I have tried to walk among people. I don't buy into the images or the perceptions, or neither do I let people celebritize me or put me on pedestals. I didn't ask for it. I want people to know that I am walking this out. You know, I am living this out every day, battling like everybody else. And I think that that's where real truth lies. That you can be honest. You don't have to tell. Everybody can handle your real truth. You know what I mean? But you have to be willing for you, before Christ, even to walk this out and say, at the core, you know, I'm getting at my best. You know, you know a little about this and the stuff you do with health. You know, the body itself will never be to its optimal health until the core is right.
And that is so true. And that's the thing. Everybody can't handle all the truth. That's why you have to be selective about and be led, you know, by what God leads you to do. I think about when Juanita Bynum first came out and she, you know, no more sheets. Yeah. And that was like, I mean, a monumental moment, because I don't think anybody had ever heard anyone just take laying all out there like that. And I think about that, but also I also think about people like Moses. I think about people like David. I think about people like Paul, who says that I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. And I'm just ratchet. I mean, I'm preaching the gospel, but I'm ratchet as heck. Who's going to deliver me? I think about all of the biblical people. I think about Noah. I think about all of these great leaders, all of these people that made such an impact that we talk about to this day for generations that has helped us. We have quoted their words. We have quoted what the Holy Spirit has, you know, God has revealed to them, what God has spoken to them, what Jesus said. He walked amongst them, Peter, Paul, John, all of them. And they were all imperfect leaders. And I think we picked up that whole thing along the way of the Pharisees and Sadducees and that robe wearing and that you know, all of the stuff that, you know, that hides all of the stuff. And we portray this thing, but really it makes people feel like it's not reachable. It makes it unreachable for a lot of people to know that what real deliverance and real freedom is. And I'm so glad that you wrote this, because I really believe that this is such a source for people that maybe, you know, you're not sitting under like a ministry like Bishop Joseph Walker's the Third Church, and you're not, you know, getting that, but you'll have this book to be able to use as a source to really get into the root of things and know that you are not alone, and that that there's nothing weird about you, and that this is just part of the process. Wouldn't you agree, Bishop?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And that's why I wrote the book, you know, because I just wanted people to have a tool. I think it's important. And this book is designed for groups to go through. You know, take your leaders through it. Take small groups. Go hook up in coffee shops and just have conversations with people you trust that walk through it. And you'd be amazed how much healing we've seen taking place around the country and around the world with people who've used this book that way. And so it's just one of those kind of resources that I think the kingdom needs to really have real conversations about what it means to be restored.
Well, we love you here on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. We can't wait to have you again on whenever you got something going on. Can you please tell everybody where they can follow you?
Yes, please. Follow me on Instagram at JosephWalker3. That's JosephWalker3. And, of course, my personal website is josephwalker3.org.
Well, all right. And is there anything going on at the church coming up? You got anything special going on? Any conferences or anything?
Oh, man. Well, we're getting ready for, you know, Super Sunday weekend this weekend here in Nashville. Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton will be with us. And, of course, we're gearing up for our college weekend in November. So that's always a big thing. We have about 10,000 college students that show up. So it's always pretty awesome. So, and of course, our Full Gospel Prepare Conference is in October. That's the second week of October. Go to fullgospelconference.org, and you can see more information about that. It's for leaders. It's for people that serve in ministry. It's a powerful, powerful move in Atlanta, Georgia. And we look forward to folks coming to be a part of that.
Well, I love it, because you know what? And I knew I recognized your voice. I knew it. You are regularly on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. You go on there every week, right? Once a week?
At least, yeah, for sure. He calls me.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've heard you always giving some inspiration and always some revelation and words of wisdom. Well, listen, you are more than welcome. Anytime you got something going on, we love you here. I want to introduce you before you go to my comedian co-host, my BFF, Gina G. Hey, Gina G.
Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
Oh, there you go.
I said, look, the devil is a lie. He ain't even gonna let me say hi to the bishop.
All right.
Well, listen, we love you here. We love you. You're more than welcome to come on anytime. And do you have just any final words of just wisdom to give to people today? Maybe God has laid something on your heart today for them.
Well, just, you know, just want to encourage people and let them know, you know, that God is, you know, he lives in truth and he loves us in spite of us, uses us in spite of us, and that there's something powerful and salvageable in you no matter what mistake you've made, and know that the best is yet to come. I always say the rest of you will be the best of you.
All right. Well, I receive it. Don't you, Gina?
I receive it. I got it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We love you, Bishop. Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was so good.
Yes.
That was so good.
I've heard his voice before. I said, wait a minute, this man sounds familiar.
I heard his voice. That's such an honor. He's my publisher's he's a brother with my publishing company. My publisher. Our publishers are the same. Anyway, we're gonna go right into the show. That was just so good. Okay, listen, we got Gina G with the Trinity. She got the Trinity. Gina G with the Trinity.
Extended version. I love my theme song. That's all I got to say. Rather, it's an extended version or not, it is one of my favorites. Okay, so the T is going to be, right now, you guys, in the San Francisco airport has banned the sales of plastic water bottles. So I'm letting you guys know right now that we got to get the environment together. We got to get the world and the ocean together. So that's with the straws, that's with the styrofoam, and now San Francisco said, you ain't traveling in here with these plastic water bottles. So they're not going to sell them or anything, you guys. So be prepared when you fly into San Francisco. Scientists find it troubling signs under the glacier. I'm giving y'all a little bit of world news today because there's a lot going on in the world. I know sometimes we stay in our little bubble and our bubble is all we have, but there is a lot going on in the world. So the ice is melting from the glaciers very rapidly. The sea levels have risen up 7.5 meters, and it is about 25 feet, the volume of ice. So it's melting fast, you guys. It's a lot going on, so we have to make sure that we take care of our planet. The NYPD fires the officer accused of the fatal choking of Eric Gardner. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but that's the gentleman that was selling DVDs outside of the store. Big guy. They called the police, which the gentleman was able to sell, knowing from the store, Eric was able to sell his DVDs in front of the store. So it was not the store that called. It was someone else called. Of course, the police came, didn't ask any questions, choked the man. But you know what? Justice is served. They have fired the officer from that 2004 incident with Eric Gardner. Rest in peace, Eric Gardner. So not only that, Gina, you know, school is coming back. School is back in for some people in other states. Our children don't go back until after Labor Day, which I'm a little upset about, but I digress. there was a young gentleman who wore a haircut to school that had like a kind of like a swivelly little M, I guess, in his haircut. Not only did they embarrass the young gentleman, they actually told him that if he did not color in that M with a black Sharpie, that he would be suspended. Uh-oh. They did not call his parents. They colored in his hair, Dr. Gina, with a black Sharpie, the teacher and the principal. Did it. The boy is 13 years old in the eighth grade. So now, of course, the family is pursuing a lawsuit. I mean, it's just ridiculous of all the things that are going on with the youth and with these kids going back to school with their dress code. I mean, I understand the short shorts. I understand the baggy pants. But a haircut, I'm not okay with a teacher and a principal taking it upon themselves before even calling the parents to color in the little boy's hair. So you guys definitely have to be aware of what's going on in your kids' schools. You know, listen to them. Don't just take what they're saying. And, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you'll go home and your kid will tell you what's going on, but you don't kind of, investigate. You know, you don't go and see what's going on at school. I'm always at my son's school. I'm in his backpack. I'm in his business. So this year, going back to school, I just want to send that out to you guys to see what's going on with your kid's school. Go up there, make it be known that these kids have someone that loves them and that cares for them and that is not going to let anyone, you know what I mean, do any harm to them, rather it be at school or out of school.
So, I mean, but I just think that's crazy and humiliating. Like, you will not be, don't touch my son. Don't you dare. Don't you do it. That's it. Okay. I just wanted to make it clear.
I was just like, look, please don't touch my child. Don't touch his haircut. Don't touch nothing.
a haircut, just, you know, let everybody know, a haircut does not mean that you're in a gang. A haircut does not mean that you're a terrorist. It does not mean that you're here to seek and destroy. It's simply a haircut for fashion. And as African Americans, we already know our fashion and our style is just the bomb. You know, so don't be mad when you see me with a shortcut today and a purple long hair tomorrow and braids Thursday. And, you know, don't be alarmed. That's just, it's just style and it's just fashion. So for them to go overboard with that 13-year-old on his first day of school is just, I mean, he has the rest of the school year to hear about that from the students. You know, it's very embarrassing. So
yeah,
keep
that's
your
not cool.
hands
yeah.
and your Sharpies to yourself, staff.
Exactly. Staff. Or we're going to have a conversation.
Or we're going to have a conversation. And then, honey, and that's the teeth. That's the trending teeth.
Oh.
That's all
well,
teeth.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to... That was trending teeth with Gina G. That was trending teeth with Gina G. What'd she say? She gave us the trending teeth. All right. We're going to take a commercial break. And then we got Minister Poet Estelle Monroe Gant joining us. We'll be right back.
The Keys Against the Enemy is a 90-day spiritual devotional boot camp. The keys is authority. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus tells Peter that he's given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever he loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys actually is power and authority, the heavens that God has given us, that we could do the same thing. The Keys Against the Enemy is literally the maturity through the years that God has really developed me into a prayer warrior. I want you to feel empowered. I just want you to know that you are a warrior, that you are an overcomer, a victor. I want you to know that you have all authority against the enemy and all of his wiles and all of his tactics. You can go on thekeysagainsttheenemy.com. So many things is going on with the Keys Against the Enemy. Go purchase your book and find out whatever's going on with the Keys Against the Enemy.
Let love drive your leadership. God does. In his new book, Love Leads, Dr. Steve Green teaches you how to love as a leader. Love Leads is now available on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Get your copy today to make the difference you've been praying for.
Hi, I'm Emmanuel, and you are listening to the best internet talk show in the world, Mom, Dr. Gina R. Prince. And you are listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
Yay. Did you hear that, Gina?
I did. Girl, I cannot deal with it. Doug know he know how to get these folks to do these drops.
That was Emmanuel.
That was not Emmanuel.
He said you are listening to my mom.
I didn't hear it then.
Oh, Estelle, come on, girl. Oh, what you got for us today? Spoken word. Snap, snap.
Hey, family. How are you?
Estelle Monroe Gantt.
Brooks, who you marrying me off?
Oh, there you go. I was like, where's she at?
You said Estelle Monroe Brooks. Who you marrying me off to?
Estelle Monroe Gantt. You know, we got Elizabeth Brooks. So today is, I got a tongue twister today. I'm sorry, Estelle Monroe Gantt.
It's okay. It's all good. It's all good. Hey, family, how are you?
Hey. Get my...
So today, my poem is just talking about uniting, just us coming together as one. And I think it's harder for women than it is for men. So I thank God for you, Dr. Gina, because you are a quilt of sisterhood. So this poem Aww. I would like to dedicate to Dr. Gina, who always brings people together. And you just have that gift to unite people. And so I just want to talk about uniting, because if we're going to win the fight, we're going to have to first learn how to unite.
All right. I'm ready for this. This sounds good. And thank you so much, Estelle Monroe Gantt, Minister Poet. What you got?
Okay. So like a crimson sun that chases the moon and it runs out of the night into the daylight, abandoning its post, or like our souls making her boast in man instead of the Son of Man, he who sits on the right hand of God, Even when we wear facades, God is not happy. See, it's impossible to please God without faith. As receivers, we are purposed to believe one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But if we don't master how to rise above persecution and criticism, we will descend from better to bitter. If we can unite, we must do what's right and required in protest on Facebook Live and Black Twitter. Then we have the potential to, as one, to become one. Who are we if we abandon our destiny and deny our purpose? It's like vintage nuns packing guns, or conscious rappers being not conscious of their environment, or it's like Michael Jordan coming out of retirement to play Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. We can't win the fight if individually we bury one another, because we bury the dead, but we plant seeds of life to multiply, increase. Dog eat dog is the nature of the beast. But because we are the believers, and because we are the receivers of the promise, blessed are the meek. We must join a united front and stop fronting like we are united when we do come together. Mm. We can weather any storm if we learn to prefer one another instead of using negative commentary about our sisters and brothers. We must come together as one to win the fight. That's it.
I love it. I mean, and you know what is so appropriate for right now? We do have to come together, especially with all of this stuff going on. And, you know, people now are mad at Jay-Z, and people are not mad. No. I mean, you know, because he's doing stuff with the NFL. And so there's now a divide with that. And there's a divide in our country with the, you know, Make America Great Again, and us that are being affected, the minorities, and just it's so much going on. So this was so appropriate and so powerful. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Yeah.
You are so welcome, Dr. Gina. You know, one of the things I find amazing is it's just like the biblical days. You know, the same ones that yell, give us Barabbas, even we see that behavior even on today. You know, we'll be down with you for a season, and then we flip-flop on to the other side. These same people that's saying, Jay-Z, you ain't right, you ain't this, you ain't that, are the same people who I see on social media giving him accolades and talking about how good he is to the community. So people are wishy-washy, and that's the bottom line. And that's why we should not put our destiny. I have not yet, and I'm married to the most finest man in the world. Can I say that? But I refuse to put my purpose, my destiny, and my worth in the hands of man. Because man, honey, they are subject. They are just fickle. They are fickle.
Yeah.
So I love my husband with all my heart, but I still know my worth as an individual. And my purpose and my destiny, that all comes from the manufacturer. That comes from God. I don't put that in nobody's, in man's hands.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And no one should. Absolutely not. No one should. This was amazing. And you know, we missed you the last time, but I know you were traveling and getting your grandbaby. But, you know, we always love you when you come on and just shower us with such talent and such revelation from God. And tell everybody where they can follow you.
You can follow me at Estelle Monroe Gantt. That's G-A-N-T-T. Or you can follow me on Twitter at the number four, Real Gantt, G-A-N-T-T.
I love it. I love it. Yes. All right, girl. Well, until next time, we love you and miss you so much.
I love you all, too. Have a good day. Thank you. All right, girl. And Pastor Boone.
All right, love. All right. So, Gina G, this has been amazing. We only got 10 more minutes. I know that last Saturday you were in town.
Of course,
we had so much fun, as always. But do you know what I love about our fun, Gina? What I love about our fun is the next morning recap. That's what I love the most.
Morning, next 2 days after, we still laughing and talking about what happened.
I mean, the recaps are hilarious, but you were awesome. You did a wonderful job at the show. I mean, I know it was a beginning for the promoters. They're like first time doing it. I thought that they had great elements there with the video, and they had the food and the bar and the, you know, the ticket booth.
Yes.
And I mean, they really had it set up. So I can only expect for it to get bigger and bigger and more grand and as we go. But you were amazing. The lineup, the other guy that you took a picture of, what's his name? He was funny.
Oh my gosh, his name was Wes. Comedian Wes, if you guys want to follow him on Instagram. Comedian Wes.
Oh my God, he is like the most naturally funniest person I've ever seen. Like, I don't know. I just picture him being in my neighborhood and cracking everybody up and getting out of fights by being so funny. And somebody said, you need to do this. And he just got up there and started doing it. Like, it's just so natural.
16 years old. Yeah, he started at 16.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. He's just so natural. Oh, my God. I really want to see him go far. But, yeah, it was really good. And then you had a church event in Philly that same, what was that, Pennsylvania?
Now, that Saturday was rough. Okay, Saturday was rough. I left Virginia at 4 in the morning, made it to Philly. Yes, it was an empowerment, speaking to the youth about, you know, just, you know, believing in themselves and fulfilling their dreams and, you know, just really giving them words of encouragement because, you know, these days, and actually when I even asked the kids what they did and what they liked in their spare time, it was video games for the boys, and the girls said to be on their phone, you know, play, you know, and look on their
of
phone.
Of course.
And I was just like, oh, my God, you know, what happened to, you know, us going outside and learning ourselves? So I just, you know, to the youth, and especially with school starting back, you know, I just wanted them to know that there's more to life, of course, than cell phone and video games. And, you know, and it's not all on them as well, because if your kid is constantly on a cell phone video game, that's the parent as well, because sometimes you need to take it. Yeah, I don't care if it's for an hour. I don't care if it's for a day, whatever. But sometimes, you know, it's up to us as well to kind of let them clear, help them to clear their mind.
And that goes into what she said, because she said it.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Come on, Gina. Come on, sis.
You got your what she say, girl.
Well, there you go. What she say? Yeah, I said it. It is our job as parents, you know, and take it away. It doesn't have to be for eternity, but give them an hour of doing something
else. You said for eternity.
Yeah, it has to be for eternity, because everyone keeps talking about the little boy that won the $3 million, you know, playing Fortnite. And, you know, and every kid wants to bring that up. And I'm like, look, okay.
You ain't
that
plan to do that. You ain't plan to do
that. You know, because but that kid could be getting homeschooled. I mean, we don't know the situation, but I'm going to tell you, up in my house, you ain't playing that game all day from sun up to sundown. I don't care if there's a chance of $1 million. No, unplug it. Thank you. Get this kitchen clean. But I love coming to you. I love coming to stay with you and my nephew. And I can't believe I missed the drop. I got to hear my nephew who is going to the ninth grade this year, who I don't know what happened to him in this summer. Because last time I seen him, he looked like a little boy. And when I seen him Saturday, I mean, he's got sideburns. He's got shadow of a mustache. I mean, he looked like he didn't grew 35 inches. I don't know. He just looked like a whole man to me when I seen him on Saturday. So, you know, you are, of course, doing a great job with my nephew, Emmanuel. And I'm so excited for this high school year because I know he's going to kill it. And he's going to do his thing. But, I mean, this weekend was just amazing, from that show to hanging out with you, going to that show. And, you know, I want the world to know, the over 1 million listeners who are listening right now, I just want everybody to know that Dr. Gina, if she's in your corner, she is in that corner. I mean, it does not matter, because I know she didn't feel like going anywhere Saturday night, but she came out with me and, you know, supports me. And I mean, I just love our bond and our friendship and our time that we spend, because like you said, it's always laugh. I mean, we cry, we laugh, we fuss, you know, we do everything. Like when we visit, when we have our time, we do everything.
I ate her food.
We do whatever circus.
I ate some of her food and she wanted it so bad. That's a whole story. And I learned I would never eat her food again. And what's so messed up is that while she was networking and stuff after her thing, I went and got me a whole plate, ate my food. And I had the nerve to go in the car and eat her stuff. I didn't eat it all. I ate like three pieces. I didn't even know what it was.
Majority of it, people. I got in the car and her little cheeks was like a little chipmunk. I seen something in her cheeks. And I said to myself, what is she eating? I thought maybe she had one shrimp. No. That baby didn't tow my whole body.
I had three pieces. I think one was a shrimp and two of them was a piece of chicken. I don't even know because I just put my hand in there. I didn't even look at it. I just grabbed it. I knew it was from Popeyes. But it's so much to the story. But anyway, we had so much fun as always. And I want to remind you before, because I want you to tell them about Orlando coming up this week, because I got something going on this weekend too. I want to talk about that. But I want to also remind you, Gina, don't forget that Augusta, Georgia, they're having their family reunion. And it's in early October, so I'll be able to announce that date. I don't know if you got anything booked for them, but you know we got to go. And hold it down for Dr. Gina's radio chat with the microphone.
Come on. But get in the right interview. We attack you. So if you're going to be at that family reunion, be prepared to have Dr. Gina and Gina G right on the side of the stage to get you right when you feel sweating.
That's right, right? And then you know what I love? They don't even care, though.
They don't care.
You know what I mean? They didn't even care. It's just such a cool atmosphere. So if you're in Augusta, Georgia, or anywhere near, this is an event. You got to go. I'll keep you posted on the dates. If you are in Augusta, I think they might be running commercials coming up at the end of the month. Yeah. But you got to go because it is so much fun. Bobby Brown's brother and his sister, they be having a food tent out there with they rib fish and what they be having, fish and ribs, what they got? The I can't
fish,
remember.
I mean, everything. You remember Bobby Brown's brother was there and, you know, he had Bobby Brown's, I guess, his barbecue sauces and stuff. So they have everything from fried fish to ribs to funnel cakes.
Everything. I mean, him and his sister. Yeah. It's a family thing. All of them was there except for Bobby. For real, it was on the nieces and everybody. But tell everybody where you're gonna be this weekend.
I am going to be at Orlando at the Civic Center, Orlando, Florida. I'm performing on my Fake Famous tour along with Barry Naylor. And a few other new faces that I haven't met yet, but I'm so excited to share the stage with them. So you can catch me in Orlando this Friday, you guys. Look on my Instagram and my Facebook. Instagram is, Gina G Too Funny. I'm like, yeah, she's funny.
That's because you got your t-shirt. Yeah, she funny.
Yeah. But yeah, Gina G Too Funny. It's Gina G, the number two funny. And on Facebook, it's Gina G T-O-O Funny. So continue to follow me, you guys. I appreciate all the love.
And this weekend, Friday, we have, I'm going to Life Jennings out at Bethesda's Blues. You guys, if you didn't get your tickets, go ahead and see him. He's an awesome performer. Oh, my God. His song list is so long. You won't be disappointed. Life Jennings at Bethesda Blues in Bethesda, Maryland. And also, I'm going to an event. The young lady, Tammy, she is throwing an anniversary birthday celebration an hour away. And I have been promising her I was going to come. And this year I'm coming. She's one of my dearest friends. And I'm one of the people that helps us out with Gina R. Prince LLC. So I'm very excited about participating in that. And I'll have some stuff on my social media about this event because it's an extravagant event. And so I'll take plenty of pictures and they just doing it big. So that's what's going on. And then next weekend we have the hot 98.1 slumber party. In Greensville, South Carolina on Saturday. Me, Health and Soul, and Performance Endurance Gear, we're going to be giving fitness tips. We're going to have a booth. We're going to be talking. We're going to be motivating, encouraging. But this is a female slumber party, y'all, at the Hilton. Oh, my God. This is going to be huge. It's over 450 people, women, going to be there, y'all. We're going to have food. We're going to have everything that you need is going to be at this event, all kind of vendors and everything. So much inspiration and stuff like that. Visitors, singers, artists. We're going to have it all. It's going to be big. You got to be there. Okay. Anyway. All right. It's time to go, Gina.
I know. I'm always so sad when it's sad.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to go, you guys. We love you so much. Thank you, Bishop Joseph Walker III, for joining us. I mean, your schedule is so busy. I thank you for taking the time and telling us about your book, Restored at the Root. You got to go get it, you guys. I have my copy. Get yours. All right. Listen, and Estelle Monroe Gant was with us, giving us such a word of encouragement, inspiration with spoken word. Listen, live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. We are loving you. Me and Gina G with the Trending Tea, yes, as always. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Live healthy, live whole, living in destiny.